Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. This last week, I had the honor of spending the week with our bishop and the pastors of our Huki Lao conference in a gathering of the clergy. Usually, those things are fairly fun. Not so much this time. Not so much. In fact, I came home pretty depressed. Mostly because we spent the week on the theme of leadership in challenging times. The retreat began with the bishop telling us, as I have shared with you on a number of occasions, that the Christian church around the world has been in steady decline since before 2001. Only two denominations or two groups of Christians have shown any positive gain since 2001. Not even the Mormons, who have historically shown for many, many years, have shown a positive gain since 2000. That's how we started our conference. And the bishop wondered, rightly, whether or not we had any wisdom or thoughts about what that meant for Christianity and for Lutheranism, for our brand of Christianity. It was an interesting talk, and one of the things that we talked a lot about was that we're finding that the world is changing around us. Not only our economy, but the way that people communicate with one another, the way people form relationships, what they find important in the world has shifted. Many experts, including one of our own denomination, has said that the problem is that the world is changing and the church continues to do things as if the world has never changed. Is it any wonder, he asks, that Christianity is declining when it insists on having its own way in a world that changes? So imagine 4 days of that, and you'll understand why I could really use a nap. But there were some words of hope. One of the things we realized is that in the church, we have become terribly enamored of religion. We love religion. We love the forms and the smells and the ways that we do things. We love the ways in which we gather and the ways that we worship, and it just doesn't matter that much that no one else does. The challenge has come to us, I think, in the reading from this morning, that religion isn't all that. That, in fact, there's something beyond religion to which we are being called as God's gathered people. Jesus is there in the synagogue, and he's preaching a word to them with authority, it says. And the people were amazed, which may say something about the preaching in the synagogue. They were just amazed, and they said, "Who is this person who speaks with authority? And not only speaks with authority, but heals and tosses out demons. Who is this one?" They saw in Jesus God's word revealed. An epiphany. And it says they were astonished. I'm sure they were astonished because Jesus was less concerned about religion than about God. Less concerned about forms and convention than about God's revealing of God's self. He spoke and acted with authority. Many years ago, many years ago, you all remember when the earth was flat? Remember that? And then this little fellow named Copernicus figured out a couple of things. One of the things he figured out is that everyone seemed to think that the earth was at the center of the universe and everything spun around it. You know that. You learned that in probably sixth grade. Copernicus suggested that perhaps the earth was not at the center, the sun was. And that everything spun around the sun. Then another little fellow named Galileo said, you know, I've been looking at the sky a long time. I think, by gum, you're right. Turned out that so did a lot of other people. As a matter of fact, there was nothing new in what they had discovered. In fact, Aristotle, way back when, had thought pretty much the same thing. And in fact, one of his writings says, gosh, everybody of intelligence and education knows that. And yet, when Nicolai Copernicus and Galileo began to talk about this, guess who said, no, that's not right? What can we say? We don't like change so much. And the church, Pope Paul V, even did a letter of excommunication by saying that the earth was no longer at the center of all that God had created. These two scientists had challenged our notions and our faith. Because so much of our faith had been built on the assumption that the creation story in Genesis put who at the middle of everything? Us. And everything's spinning around us. As if God has absolutely nothing else to do but go, aren't people wonderful and shouldn't I pay attention to them? It's part of the problem with religion. It may be part of the problem, it may be part of why so much of society finds church irrelevant. The times are changing and the world is changing. We are no longer at the center of everything. What Jesus proposes is a radical notion that the center of our worship and our being and our service, that the center of the word that we hear from God, of our sacraments, of our gathering, is not us. It's God. Now imagine a radical church where God was at the center. Imagine it. Imagine how our arguments about whether or not we should cut down trees or move the pews or sing this hymn or that hymn or worry about exactly how many inches from the center of the altar the chalice is, which is about a quarter of an inch off today, we would stop worrying about that because we would be drawn from the sanctuary into the world because God would be at our center. Some people have said that part of what's happening within the church and why we've become irrelevant is that the world is changing and understanding itself in new ways, but we insist on being the same. To not hear the new teaching of Jesus. An Episcopal priest started in his new parish, and he went up to celebrate the Mass, the Eucharist, and as he got up to the altar, began to sing the liturgy. This is a true story passed on to me by Pastor Ruth. And as he sang the first part of the proper preface, halfway through the proper preface, which is the piece that I sing right before communion, the acolyte who was standing in his customary place reached over and touched the book of prayer and stood. priest sort of thought, that seems a bit odd. I mean, Episcopalians are as liturgical as they come. I mean, we're actually pretty much competing against them in that respect. But even the priest couldn't figure out what in the world was going on. It happened for a few Sundays, and finally he called the former rector and he said, what in the world is going on? What have you taught them in this new liturgical move that happens right before the proper preface? And the priest began to laugh. And he said, well, when they put out the new Book of Common Prayer, when they first put out the preview of it, the proper preface was on two separate pages. And so you would get to the bottom of the page, and then the acolyte would turn the page, and I would finish singing the proper preface. When the book was finally completed, they, of course, did all of their rearranging, and the entire proper preface now appears on one page. But the acolyte had become so accustomed for so long to reaching over and turning the page for the priest that the practice never ended. So even though it was on one page, he still reached over and touched the book. It had become part of the religious life of the community. How much of our life as Christian people has become the habit and not the passion? As Paul is speaking to the Corinthians, he's calling for a life of passionate word. No, don't worry about what you eat. Don't worry about the eating of sacrifices, but worry about your neighbor. Don't get wrapped up in religious practice. Instead, become the body of Christ for the world. That's the essence and the core of who we are. That God has come into the world and given his only Son to die on a cross that we might live. We seem to have a lot of knowledge about religion, that knowledge that puffs us up. But we are called to become a community of love, which, as Paul says, builds us up. The bishop, our bishop, is right. The world is changing. The world is changing with such rapidity that it's difficult for us to keep up. But when we can put at the center of our community and our being and our worship and ourselves the God of Moses and Jacob and Abraham, of Jesus and of Paul and of James and of you, when we can put that God at the center, perhaps then we will cease to be just another religious group and become the body of Christ, disciples gathered and apostles sent. And so I welcome you to a changing world, and I challenge you and me and our congregation and our church, Christians everywhere, to be faithful lovers of Christ. The world is changing. The question will be, how will we change the world? Amen.